shall not depart from it. Amen. I'd like to pass something down, wouldn't you? I'm going to go to Matthew 11 and talk to you this morning about a subject. I'm going to title it this morning, When You Don't Know What to Believe. Amen.
Sounds good.
Matthew 11. This has already been preached pretty thoroughly the last few weeks, but I'm going to go ahead and touch up on it a little more. Brother Mike, Brother Bill, and them in the play pretty well covered this, but I'm just going to repeat it here. Maybe Brother Bill may jump up here and illustrate for me the John the Baptist if y'all didn't get to see the play. I'm going to talk about John the Baptist this morning. I'm going to talk about that subject. It's a tough subject in a sense, because you think of John the Baptist and John was quite a man. He was a close kin to Jesus in the natural. He received the Holy Ghost in his mother's womb. He was likened to Elijah. He was not Elijah, but he was likened to Elijah in the power and fiery prophetic ministry that he had. And he was the forerunner. He wasn't the groom, but he was the forerunner of Christ. He opened the door for this new dispensation, the kingdom of heaven on earth. And how many remembers his theme, the message he loved to preach? Repent. Huh? That's what Jim Gillis, the college preacher, that was his favorite message. He climbed up in a tree when Mondale was running for office, and he was on a college campus, and every time Mondale would say something, Jim Gillis would holler, "Repent!" That's the way John, he'd get out there on the, he came out of the wilderness, and I believe if I got this right, the Bible said he ate locusts and wild honey. Now, is that cornbread? Is that what that is? Oh, I see. He ate locusts and wild, I don't know if it was locust bloom. Is that what it was? It wasn't them crazy. But so he ate locusts and wild honey, and he was kind of a wild creature. Yeah. Leather girdle and camel hair. Yeah. Now, I'm not talking about J.C. Penney camel hair. I mean, when John came, we see him coming out of the wilderness. Now, he came, he had a vow, he'd taken a vow of, he wouldn't drink any wine he was just a strict man, and God dealt with him. And boy, I'm telling you what a message he had. He came out, the Bible said that he came out and when he began to repent, and he's one of the, one of the first baptizings. I guess that's where he got his name, you reckon? John the Baptist. And he'd baptize people, and he would stand on the shore, and he would cause them to come and bring. They would have to bring some kind of influence in their life that would let John know that they had been converted. He said, "Bring me meat worthy of repentance. Show me you repent. Show me something." Right. Now, he wouldn't have fit in that modern church where you sign the book and pay your tithes and take a nap.
That's right.
Huh? He wouldn't have fit in that church at all, would he? I mean, you wanted to join the church, you wanted to testify or sing, he'd want to know, are you saved? And then if you said yes, he'd wait till you saw some fruit in your life. Well, John had such a revelation that when he came onto the shore, and you know all this, but I'm going to get ready to preach to you here in a minute. But he came out on the shore. He saw the Lord. He'd been baptized, and Jesus came down to be baptized of John. Of course, John knew right off who it was, that Jesus was more than just a cousin. Jesus was the Son of God. And brother, a revelation came on. That's what we need, really. We need that kind of revival, Brother Mac, again in Buchanan County. We need people to realize that Jesus is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, takes away the sin of the world. John saw him coming, and John had disciples. He had followers that were with him. And John pointed out Jesus to his disciples, and he said, right there is the Lamb of God. That's that. Behold him, watch him, look at him, follow him. I'm going to decrease. Now, Brother Walk, and I think it takes a spiritual man, amen, to be willing to decrease, amen, that Christ may increase. And so I'm just building a little foundation here, I think, or something like that. But I want you to know that John had it. He had the insight, he had the revelation, and he had victory. Amen. He saw John Jesus on the shore, and he said, without a doubt. And he come back the next day, and he repeated it again. This is the Lamb of God, the Son. Now when we come in the 11th chapter, we're coming in a little different scenario here, and it does make a difference. Now, I don't know how to bring this to you and you understand what I'm trying to get at, but I want you to understand that John was a great man and he was a human. Amen. And so he comes, and that's not belittling John. After this discourse that I'm getting ready to read to you, amen, Christ, when John's disciples came to him, how many remembers what he said about John? So I don't want to reflect on here that John had backslid or that John was weak, or he's not weak, but life, circumstances, when we change, brother, come on now, amen, it sometimes hits us in our faith. Anybody ever been there? If your faith has never been tried, you don't have any. Is that right? Now, I want you to notice, it came to pass when Jesus, now the 10th chapter, we studied about discipleship, disciples, and Christ 12. Now it says, it came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Now, you know, life can put you in places where you have a little shadow of a doubt. Now, if y'all understand what I'm saying, nod your head hard enough to where I can hear you, okay? You may be there now. You may be there now. But John was a great man. He had an experience with God. But he ended up in prison. He ended up there for just being John. For being what God had called him to be. You remember? How many remembers the message that got him in trouble? How many remembers the message that got him in trouble? He preached to the ruler that it was not lawful for him to have his brother Philip's wife. And when he did that, of course, it flew up in his face because it wasn't just the fact that Herod was offended that his wife or his brother's wife, or however you want to say it, was offended. And of course, you know the rest of the story. And how many knows that just because it offends the world does not mean it's not right? It is right. The Bible is right. Amen. Come on, church, help me preach a little bit. So John was preaching. Hey, have you ever done your best to do what God anointed you to do and find yourself in a heap of trouble for it? Does that make it not right? Now, I'll tell you, the devil will talk to you about it. And he'll say, oh, yeah, you've done all of this for the Lord, and look what it's got you. How many knows the devil say stuff like that? You live for the Lord, and now look. And I don't know why we do it, but I do it. I have done it. Somehow or another, when you get in a trial, you think because you don't have material things or things aren't going, that somehow or another that makes you less spiritual. Now, but when did health and happiness and prosperity make you spiritual? We got a few out today. I believe all the amenners laid home. Huh? I mean, they're not a very devoted bunch, but they do say amen sometimes. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you, sometimes we get messed up in this, and a lot of times it's when we're looking through the bars. And we're restricted and restrained. We're used to walking through the wilderness, and we're used to, amen, preaching what we feel like preaching, and now we don't have an audience. And then you know the rest of the story, and I won't take forever this morning, but I want to preach this message to us when you don't know what to believe. I remember years ago, a man, and you may have heard me mention before, but years ago I remember a man had backslid that I knew, and I contacted him trying to encourage him to get back on board, not to stay out there. And but I remember him trying to get back to God, and I remember him. He was being pulled at by a worldlier group of people to join them. They would love him. They wouldn't reject him. And that old holiness people are not very forgiving. Now, that's all lies. I know. I've been among them for 35 years. It's a lie. But this man was being pulled by that, Brother Mark. And I remember very well when I called him and I got to talking to him about coming on back to the Lord and getting back in. And I could tell somebody had been talking to him. And so he just so-and-so said blah, blah, blah. And boy, I felt it, Brother Robert. I felt like the enemy. Hey, it don't matter how the enemy gets you, as long as he gets you. And I told this individual, I said, now, wait a minute. You know better than that. You don't believe that. And he said to me, I don't know what I believe in. You ever been there? Oh, some of you are there right now. I don't know when you don't know what to believe anymore. That's where John was at. You say, not John. That's where he was at. Is he the Messiah? I don't know whether to believe that he's the Messiah or not. But John, how many weeks was it ago that you stood on the shore with a bold voice and said, there is the Messiah? Huh? You're here this morning and you whipped yourself down to the ground because there was a shadow of doubt came through your mind. Amen. Do you remember what Isaac and, you know, was the promised son, and he married Rebecca, and they were going to, procreate, and the promise was coming. And lo and behold, when they got married, Rebecca couldn't have children. Now, how's that? I thought the promise, and you remember when she couldn't have a child, and the promise of God was at stake here. And Isaac said to the Lord in prayer, Rebecca said, if I am going to bear, then why am I barren? Why is it thus? That's what they said in prayer. If it's supposed to be the promised child, then why are things going like they're going? It ain't over yet. Am I preaching to you or not? Yes, sir. John says, if he's the Messiah and he's going to set up his kingdom, amen, why am I in prison and he's not got me out? Huh? Oh, come on now, church. Am I preaching right to you or not? Sometimes life is, we don't understand it. But, you know, that's not surprising to me. I never could really understand trigonometry too good. So there's a lot of things I don't understand. Chemistry. I never could understand chemistry. And they try to tell you that pi are square when I've seen pies all my life and they're round. Cornbread square. Huh? So just because I don't understand radio waves. I don't. I don't understand how a black cow can eat green grass and the milk's white. Y'all understand that? There's a lot I don't understand. So it's really no, just because I can't understand God, I'm not going to fret over it because there's a lot of things I don't understand. I don't even understand me sometimes. Huh? But John didn't understand. And I'm going to hurry. I'm going to ease down to about a quarter after on this. And then, you know, by the help of the Lord, we're going to get the other quarter of something else. But I want you to get there. You're going through trial. If you're not careful, you allow your trials, amen, to cause you to get bitter. Huh? Now, John wasn't bitter. John wasn't bitter. Amen. He said, look, art thou he that I want you to send his two disciples. Aren't you glad for disciples? Huh? John, Brother John back here, aren't you glad for Chad and Noah? Huh? Go ask him. Now, brother, look, I wish I could preach to you this morning. I'm not trying to make it seem gloomy to you. Amen. But something was going on in Herod's quarters. They had the little girl come out there and dance. Y'all remember that? And it really wasn't square dance. It was one of them seductive deals that Hannah Montana might do. Huh? Oh, yeah. Half dressed, shaking herself all over. That's a lot of our young people like to pattern after. That's a no-no. Huh? That's right. That's the kind of dance that this girl was doing. She'd got lewd in this perverted Herod that had already got to lusting after his brother's wife, now started lusting after her daughter. And he got so carried away with lust and so eat up with lust that he said, man, you just name it, and it's yours, honey. A woman like you that turns me on like this, and I'll tell you, that's what's wrong with our society today. Huh? That's why young people grow up 10, 11, 12 years old, and they start wanting to commit fornication with each other without a marriage license. Are you listening? Now, I know this is a little off, but I'm going to show you the kind of spirit that was behind the scenes that was driving the death of this old holiness preacher that's in prison. You know what the woman said when she said, what do you want? He said, now think of this. I know this is gory. I want John's head in a charger. I want you to say, now that is bloody. I read about somebody breaking in over at Hurley, and the guy took a ball bat, and did y'all read that in the paper? Beat the guy, took his bat away from him, beat his head, and bloodied up the place. But I'm going to tell you, here's a man of God that is putting his head. You know, brother, listen. Am I doing any good this morning? Listen to this. When I think of men like John that allowed him to come and slice his head off simply for preaching against what the king was doing, and then I think of our religious society all across America in churches today, people will not preach the truth because it'll cut their offerings off. Now, brother, I wouldn't want to be in their shoes for their socks. You hear what I'm saying? And I love you, and I want you to be happy with me. But brother, I'm not going to sell out the truth just to make you happy with me. And you know that. That's why you're here. Amen. That's right. And so John, amen, But I want you to realize the position he's in. I've been in this, not this position, but I have been in positions, and you have too, Brother Robert, where the pressure was mighty hot. All you have to do to ease the pressure up and to save your neck is to say it ain't so, but you can't do it. So, John knew that his days were numbered. He's getting ready to die for the cause. And so he says, go ask the Lord, is he the one, or do we look for another? Now, it's almost like our world is doing that today. Maybe Christ is not the one. Maybe Muhammad is. Maybe Christ is not the one. Maybe Buddha is. Maybe Christ is not the one. Maybe the humanistic world is. Maybe. Are you convinced today? I like what Peter said when the Lord said, who do men say that I am? Some say you're this, and some say you're that, and some say Jeremiah, and some this. Who do you say that I am? Amen. Come on now. I'll tell you when your faith is really, really what it ought to be is when you're in the pressure like John is, and you hear and you say, when they sent the message back, you know what? And here's what I love about it, amen. Not only did he tell them to go, he doubted that Jesus was the Messiah, but he knew this one thing: if he was not the Messiah, he would know who was, huh? And so he sent word, go find out. I'm going to tell you in this hour, our little children growing up, they're not in here. Watch your little kids. I've had five of them rascals. And they grow up and they hit, Brother Robert, they get it younger than they used to. They hit that. And, brother, there ain't but one thing. Kids need attention. They need to be worked with and somebody's hand upon them. I know that. But, brother, the thing that they've got to have to survive is they've got to have faith in Jesus Christ, that he is the Messiah, the Lamb of God, Matthew, that whatever you face in life as a young man, Christ will be the answer for you. He'll be the answer out in the wilderness, out on the shore. He'll be the answer in the prison. Now, John was getting ready to go before the guillotine. I want to ask you, you're getting ready, amen, to go out there in that world every day of your life. You go out there and face, amen, the rebuke of the world for preaching and living what Jesus Christ taught you to live. Now listen, amen, John said, go ask him. Well, you know the rest of the story, don't you? How many knows the rest of the story? He says, go and tell them. I go up here and read it to you. And when he went and asked the Lord, and here's what he said. He said, are thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered, I preached a message years ago on don't look for another, but take another look. Amen. That's what we need to do tonight when we come back to this service. Amen. We don't need to look for some other method or means to have a spiritual service. We just need to look back to the Son of God. Oh, hallelujah. You say, well, that's boring. Amen. He said, if I be lifted up, I would draw all men unto me. Amen. We're moving out in this county to try to get people to come to church. Amen. And I'll tell you how we're going to do it. If we can present to them Jesus Christ, not just a good man, not just a figure of history, amen, but the Savior of our lives that can convert us. Oh, help me preach this morning. Here's what the Lord Jesus answered and said unto them, go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. Things you hear and witness. You see it for yourself. How many knows that an eyewitness is a handy thing to have when something's on trial? Amen. Do we have any eyewitnesses here? How many can be an eyewitness to the power of the Son of God? I want you to notice. Oh, I wish I could preach to you this morning. I'm preaching on when you don't know what to believe. You do not have to stay like that. Woo, I feel the Holy Ghost on me here. You do not have to stay like that. Wondering. There is an absolute
truth.
We're living in a society where people ask you, well, whose values are we talking about? You know what causes that? When Christ is not acknowledged as the Lamb of God, when he's just a religious figure, then you don't know who to believe. Who do we believe? Who do we believe? You say, well, preacher, I'll go next Sunday. I'll go down the road, and I'll hear something. They'll say something different, and I'll tell you, you may do it, but I'll tell you there's only one gospel. There's only one Spirit. Come on now. There's only one Savior, and you know what his name is. You say, well, brother, we ought to all just try to get along. Yeah, we ought to get along, but there's only one truth. Amen. Say, you've got a monopoly on it? Oh, no. God has the monopoly on it. Let God be true and every man a liar, and every time I say what God said, I'm telling the truth. Somebody say amen. Here's what he said. He said, go tell them what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight. The lame walk. The lepers are cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised. The poor have the gospel preached to them. And then how many remembers that? I'm going to put that right there. I got one more verse I want to get to you in the next 7 minutes. Amen. But I want to tell you, amen. How many remembers the crew that came up? How many saw the Christmas play at Easter or whenever we did it? Huh? And it came up and who was first? Y'all remember right off the bat? Who was it? Was it? The woman at the well, Sister Hildred's not here. Sister Hildred came up here and in practice she couldn't hardly remember. She didn't know. Brother, she got up there and here she come off the platform. Praise God. I tell you, not only was the woman at the well a witness to what Christ could do, the woman on what's the ridge called up there? Fletcher's Boyd Ridge up there. Amen. She knows what it's like to be converted. Praise God. I remember preaching revival 30 years ago up at Rowe, and Sister Hildred had just got saved. Amen. I'm just brand new babe in Christ. Amen. And brother, she's been living for the Lord. Amen. All, are you out there? Amen. Brother, I'll tell you what now. I can hear her coming back to John. I believe she, and she's done it before. I've seen her go to people right in this church. I've seen her, amen, say to her pastor, oh, the Lord will help you. The Lord will be with you. He's never let us down now. Amen. Come on now. Amen. How about you? Amen. I thought about my little girl. Amen. She was Jairus' daughter. Amen. And she came up and said, well, I'm just like Lazarus. It's good to be alive. Amen. Come on now. My little old girl at 11 years old today, amen, could tell you there is a Christ that redeems and saves and helps and moves. Amen. I want to tell you, he is the Messiah, John. You're in that prison here this morning. Amen. I want to tell you, amen, no blind Bartimaeus could witness, amen, that God still saves. Amen. He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Well, I could go on to this, and you could too. When you don't know what to believe, amen, believe Christ. Ask him. He don't care if you ask him. Huh? You remember that day it snowed a little bit there in Jerusalem and Thomas laid out a church? Well, maybe it didn't snow, but you remember that service he missed? And it's something when you decide to lay out to have the best service of the year. Isn't that something? That's why... Old Thomas, they saw him the next day. Oh, if you'd have been here last night. Well, what went on? Jesus was there. What? Jesus was there. So the next service, guess who was there on the front seat? Old Tom. Huh? Isn't that right? And you know what? He said, I'm not going to believe till I put my finger in that scar. And you know what? Brother, Jesus said, well, you dirty, low life. Don't believe nothing. You get out of this church. I ain't showing you nothing. Nuh-uh. He said, here. You got a little shadow of doubt? Well, we don't want that. Here.
Before you leave today, go ahead, thrust your hand in my side. You know what? He wants you to believe. Do you know what? Do you know what Thomas said after he saw those nails and that? I don't reckon he did it. You know what he did? He said, "My Lord and my God." Whew, boy, he left out of that place kicking up his heels. You know he died a martyr. History tells us he died a brutal, cruel death. How are we going to have enough to die for Jesus? Huh? And you know, I hope I'm not saying too much, but I got these young people in here, so I have to drop a little something for them. Huh? But styles and deal, and you know, I mean, my hair's like this, and it's going to be like that till it leaves. Huh? You know what I mean? Brother, I lost my comb months ago. I don't know where it's at. So I'm not what you call a trend setter. Huh? That's right. But I'm going to tell you young people something. Don't keep your eye on the world and let your life be formed and controlled. Huh? I watch you come up. You know, the sideburns are up, the sideburns are down, and the sideburns are all around. Huh? Hey, you see this? If ORC can get them straight, that's the way they're going to stay right there. Now, I've had to remodel them a few times, you know, when he got done. He gets talking about Revelation. He's liable to put you through tribulation. Huh? Y'all act like y'all know what I'm talking about, huh? But I'm not going to be controlled by that. Are you? Huh? But if you're not convinced, sold out, that old-time religion is right and Christ is right, then, you know, you're just going to be tossed with every wind and doctrine. When it comes to your convictions, you know, the devil will talk, God will talk you into them. And then when you get in prison, the devil will talk you out of them. Come on now. Now, part of the problem is human nature. We battle so much with human nature. If you let old human nature rule, you're going to act just as goofy as human nature can have you act. You got to have some self-control. How many knows you got to have some self-control? Huh? That's right. And John, when they brought him back the news, he was ready. He was ready. They brought, and I want to tell you about old Herod. He never got over that. I said Herod never got over that. It's a little while later we read where Herod was there and they were declaring him the great God, and how many knows what happened to him? And every time Jesus would pop up somewhere else preaching, he'd run out and say, "That's John the Baptist. He's come back to haunt me." It drove him crazy. And then worms eat him. Huh? Hey, I believe I'll stick with the book. Well, I tried to preach to you today. Don't let the devil browbeat you when you have. Just go back and ask the Lord. Just get on your knees. Get in a prayer closet. God don't care. He don't care for you asking questions. Huh? He really don't, church. He don't care. He wants you to believe. And he does. Amen. And he wants you to take what you've served. Now, look, I've been through it. I have through the years. Devil challenged your faith. Now, buddy, that's a battle, isn't it? When he challenges your very faith. Praise God. Let's stand. We can go to this book right here. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. Amen.